I found a brief quote that I thought would be a good way to get started today, talking about attraction, manifestation, and gratitude. And Samantha, coincidentally, did a nice job with the program and my promotion with this particular quote. The universe doesn't speak English. It speaks frequency. So if you'll bear with me, I have a couple of stories to tell you to start today. One is perhaps part of a story you've heard from me before, and that is that about a little over a year ago, I went to the dance at Hawk Hollow on Friday night and asked this young lady here, young to me anyway, to dance, and I had not remembered that we had met a year before. When we started dancing and we started conversation, I recalled who she was. I remembered that I'd had an interest in getting to know her then, and obviously that's worked out a year later. Coincidence? About 3 years ago, oddly enough, I came back to fellowship. And in the preceding, or in the subsequent journey that I've had here at fellowship, I'm now on the steering committee, and I've been asked to speak. This is my third time speaking here. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity to be able to share some of what I've learned about the law of attraction, about manifestation, and about gratitude. Coincidence? As some of you remember, it wasn't that long ago that we were meeting for these services on Lake Lansing at the Korean Methodist Church. And we lost the opportunity of being able to continue meeting there. And we moved for a couple of sessions up on Langsburg, and we moved for a number of months over to the center on Allen Street, and now here we are. And it's sort of curious, isn't it, that this building was here then, wasn't it? Coincidence, I guess. Huh? And lastly, you may remember when we thought spring was done or ready to come in, we thought, oh, spring's here, and then we got smacked with this clipper or whatever they happen to call it, and we were blanketed with snow again, and the people up north were getting 6 inches in the Traverse City and Alpena areas, and we all had a very tenuous drive into work. And on that particular Sunday, Deanna and I drove up to Mount Pleasant to see my son and daughter-in-law, who's now pregnant with my second grandchild. And we had a nice dinner at a restaurant up there. We were the only people who were in this huge restaurant. And the only reason we were able to be served was because they had generators, because they had lost their power. And we left and decided to drive back to Bay City carefully. And we had talked about stopping at Soaring Eagle before all the snow came. And so we were on the road on 20 to head back to Midland. And I said, gee, it's probably a good thing we didn't make plans to go to the Eagle. And she said, well, you know, there won't be as many people there today. And I said, yeah. Well, then we could get on any machine we wanted. I said, yeah. And she said, well, let's go. I'm feeling lucky today. I said, okay, let's fine. How much money you got? 11. Oh, here's 4 more. Oh, here's a 5. $27 is what she had. Now she's laughing because she knows that's true. And I told you, or I've told some of you anyway, that I'm practicing one of the suggestions that Abraham has in their first book, Ask and It Is Given, and it's a prosperity angle, I guess to call it. I carry a $100 bill around with me at all times, because then I can say to myself, well, gee, I could buy that. You know, I could buy everything out there for Shackley, yeah, but I'm not going to. And that's the key. That's the key, because if I just spent the $100, I would get the great feeling from that one spending, but if I say, well, I could buy it or I could buy it, I get the feeling every single time. So I said, well, okay, you're feeling lucky. I'll risk it. So we went to the casino, and she played her $27, and I played my $100. And after she hit on a penny machine 27,000 pennies, which is $270, and I hit on mine for $200, so I made 100 and she made 253, we decided it was time to go. Coincidence, huh? But now, I'm going to open this up. What's other than me, what's the single thing about all four of those examples? Other than I was in them, what's the same plot line? Intention, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Could be intention. What else? Moving on. Sue? Prosperity, abundance. It's about manifestation. I've talked here before about attraction, law of attraction, and the piece that is kind of, I guess, somewhat unspoken in a lot of what Abraham talks about and a lot of what the law of attraction books talk about is the where does manifestation fit into this process? And so today, that was what I wanted to share with you was that attraction is my vibration going out. I'm trying to attract something to come to me. Manifestation is the answer to the attraction. Now, what's consistent about all four of those examples is that I could have all the intention in the world of attracting money at the casino, but if there's no casino, if there's no people working at the casino, if there are no casino slot machines, I can't manifest that in that area of Mount Pleasant. So I'm attempting to manifest something for me, but the universe has to collaborate with me. And it's not quite as nebulous as Abraham says sometimes when she says, well, the universe will handle it once you put it out there. That's true, but the players have to be in place for all those things to happen. So had we not gone to the casino that day, somebody else would have won that money because somebody else would have played those slot machines at some point in time, and they would have had the same winnings we did. If I hadn't gone to the dance, I wouldn't have met her. But even if I went to the dance, if she hadn't come, I wouldn't have met her. But if there hadn't been a dance, I wouldn't have met her, and we wouldn't have met at all. So in each of those examples that I'm giving you, what I want to impress and make the point today is that manifestation is the answer to the attraction, but we have to have collaborating pieces in our universe or in our field, our vibrational field, in order for the attraction to occur. I was adopted at birth. I was born in Mary Crittenden Home for Unwed Mothers in Detroit in 1950. I had a little bit of knowledge about my birth mother and my birth father, but until recently all of those records have been sealed, and so I didn't have an opportunity to access them, and I lived in Illinois for 12 years, so even when they opened up here in Michigan, I had limited ability to go down to Wayne County and get those records, which I hadn't done. I still haven't done. And it wasn't really sort of disconnected from the process as much as it was. I really enjoyed, once I started getting familiar with the law of attraction and the principles, I really enjoyed the notion of filling out an application at the doctor's office and saying, I don't have any past history that I can report in my family because I wasn't carrying that around with me. Oh, this relative died of this, or this relative caught that, or whatever the case might be. And that energy wasn't in me, in my vibrational field at all. And so I wasn't sure whether my parents, birth parents, were alive or dead, but I resisted the temptation of going because I didn't want to find out maybe what was out there that would then enter into my vibration. So in Christmas, this past Christmas, 2017, my oldest daughter, my middle child, got me a 23andMe kit. And if you haven't, or if you're not aware of the 23andMe program, you send them a DNA sample, which is your saliva. I had to spit into the cup. And you send it off, postage paid. And they send back the results, telling you how many people that you were DNA connected to. And that was Christmas. I just had my birthday last week, and the box was still sitting on my desk. So last Thursday night, that would be 3 days ago, I opened up the email that I'd gotten from 23andMe because I had sent it off. And it told me about some of the connections and this, that, and the other, and that there were over 1,000 connections at some percentage to my DNA. If you want to know more specifics, click here. Well, I didn't click till Thursday night. So I clicked on Thursday night. And there were two names that they suggested were close enough in DNA that they may be first cousins. So I wrote both of them a short note introducing myself and giving a little bit of information about when I was born and where. And I got immediate response from both. And the result of that is that I now have discovered who my father is. And he passed in 2001, lived in Oregon, grew up in Georgia, and had 7 brothers and sisters. So from being an only child, my dad being an only child, my grandfather having a brother and a sister who never had any kids. So that was my family on my dad's side. I now have, can't even count how many cousins and first and second cousins I have, but I can count that I have a sister and 2 brothers. And that's all just on my dad's side. There were no connections at all on my mom's side. At least I don't think so. The other information after those two were 4th cousins, 5th cousins, 6th cousins. There was such a small percentage that they would be removed. The folks who are on Facebook that are my relatives have embraced me very positively. And I got a note from one of my cousins that said, "We're all really glad you found us." So, attraction, manifestation, gratitude. It's all there in that story. And I'm guessing all of you have those kinds of stories too. So for me, this isn't just something that I think I'm curious about and I want to go out and read more about it and come and give more fellowship talks about it or just have a personal satisfaction in knowing some of these things or even going to see Esther Abraham at a talk. For me, it's that I'm living it. I mean, it's really clear for me that this is what's happening. The best part of it is that it's all working out for me. I'm still writing my 21s, and I say that at the end of each day I write the 21. It's all working out for me. I found a quote here from Abraham I wanted to share. It was a quote from January 1st, the first day of the year. "I want to wake up eager for the day. I'd like anybody who comes in contact with me to benefit as a result of being together. And I would like to not feel bad when that doesn't happen. I'd like to help people know the value of who they are. I'd like to be a catalyst in helping people feel good. And I don't even notice when they don't. I want to stay in my own lane, to mind my own business and care more about how I feel than how others feel about me. I want to revise and improve the story I tell every day. I want to be happy where I am and eager for more. We got some feedback from the last meeting of the fellowship where folks asked if it might be possible to have questions and answers for the speakers after the talk. And we haven't completely decided if we're going to open that up during the service, but I'm going to be available after at a table. So if you want to come and sit down and talk, I'd be happy to talk with you. Any questions you might have or any sharings that you might want to do, I'll be available. I also went to, we had some business in Midland, and we go to the Saginaw Mall and we go to the Bay City Mall quite often. We hadn't been to the Midland Mall, and we decided last week to go to the Midland Mall, and my gosh, they were having a book sale of all things. And so I bought these three books, The Vortex, Power of Emotions, and Asking It Is Given, which I have all of these. I paid $2 each for them. They're brand new, haven't been used. And I'm going to make them available in the sharing time. If you want to come and donate and get one of the books, we on the steering committee will be happy to take your money. And I want to close with a little tidbit I gave last time where I said, one thing you could do to change your life overnight, and maybe some of you would do it. If you have, raise your hand, where I said change the word but to and in your conversation. If some of you have done that, I see Julia's shaking her head. Yeah, it's a good one. Change the word but in your conversations to the word and just watch how your life changes. It's an incredible transformation. So my tip tonight is change the word should to could. So think about that for a minute. Just think about something you came in here today where you're saying, geez, I should have done that today. So let's just think about that for a minute. And now just change the word to could. What happens? All of a sudden, it becomes clear to you, because it does to me, that it's up to me. That I could have done it. I chose not to. I made a decision, and that's okay. Make whatever decisions you want, but don't make it about somehow the quality of a person you are. You just made a choice, and that's okay. So if you change the but to an and if you change the should to a could, you're going to be a lot, there'd be a lot more manifestation, I guess is what I would say. There'd be a lot more manifestation. And thank you very much, Taylor, for the peace on gratitude today. It fits in perfectly with what we're talking about. That once I see that happening in my life, then I get to the joy that Abraham says we need in order to manifest anything that we want. So I want to close on this note. As you get older, you really just want to be surrounded by good people. People who are good for you, good to you, and good for your soul. I am grateful for every one of you. Namaste.